The message today is entitled Selah. If you know in the book of Psalm, this phrase is written in there about 71 times, and then three times actually in the book of Habakkuk. And so this is kind of wrapped up in what I want to call just kind of what I learned on my sabbatical. So you guys know I was away for a month, my family and I. Thank you for all of your prayers. We had a great time. It was also kind of a weird time as well, and I'm just kind of be sharing some lessons that I learned during this time and finishing off with Selah. The scripture is Psalm 66, verse 4. It says, "All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you, and they will sing praises to your name, Selah." Let's pray. Father, we come to this part of the service, God, and we also Selah, God. We pause. We quiet ourselves. We stop to reflect on you and who you are and the goodness of God and the verses, Lord, that you want to speak to us today. And we thank you for the testimonies of Kelvin and Louis. We ask for your continued blessings upon them, God, and upon our whole faith community as we have received two new ones, God, into your arms. And so we just thank you for the opportunity, God. And so now, Lord, we ask you to speak to us through your word. Now, to that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. We thank you, God. We love you in this place, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Like I mentioned, what I learned on the sabbatical. We're gone for a month and learned a lot of different things. Like I said, it was kind of one of the weirdest trips. It was actually the first time in my life that I ever dialed 911. And if you are in the U.S., 911 is emergency. And we were actually, it was Sunday, the second Sunday we were there, and we had just come back from church. We're getting ready for our son Andrew's first birthday party that night. And so we were meant to go home, shower, change, and go to the party. And as we got off the freeway, about two blocks later, we got hit by another car. It was a hit and run. And so the guy hit our car. We spun a little bit. We ended up on the median divider in a very busy street. And then the guy took off. And so I got out of the car. First, I checked everyone. I mean, we had everyone in my family there, all the kids, Lisa, actually my cousin, who flew in from Chicago for the party. Everyone was okay, and I went outside, and I was like, "Hey, man, you know, what's up with this?" This is basically a very young Hispanic guy in the car, and I get out of the car, and he kind of checks himself, and I get there was a passenger, and then as I'm making my way, you know, I'm still limping quite a bit because of my surgery, I take two steps, and he just takes off. And I kid you not, if I wasn't disabled, I would have chased after the guy. And it was just freaky. It was just kind of, and then I had to dial 911, and we had to go through this whole deal, and we just made it right on time for their birthday party. And it was just kind of a strange, you know, I haven't really felt violated like that in such a long time. But it was kind of humorous at the same time. And so I'm checking the girls, you know, after the guy takes off, and I'm like, "Oh, I can't believe he took off." And I'm talking to the girls to make sure they're okay again. And then Hannah, this is classic. Classic Hannah moment. Hannah turns to me and says, "Appa, when I get older, can I get a tiger?" I was like, "Why? You want a tiger? Yeah, so that, you know, later I can get the tiger and he can kill that guy." and you should have heard her say, "Kill that guy." I mean, it was with like force, right? She says, "Yeah, I want to get a tiger. I want to kill that guy." And I was like, I was kind of proud and scared of my daughter at the same time and whatnot. And so, yeah, I mean, just this crazy episode. Another, you know, I realized these are just kind of simple lessons from sabbatical. I also learned how discouraging the Christian community can be as well. And but the first week I was there, I was still in my cast and I was in my crutches. So I went to my old church, Southland, that you know, I was on staff before we moved out here to Hong Kong. And I kid you not, every single person that we saw looked at me, looked at my cast, and had this look on their face like, "Oh, again? You got injured again? Granted, last October when I was there, I was wearing my shoulder brace. If you remember, I had surgery on my shoulder. And every single one of them turned to me and says, "Hey, P-Sam, about time to retire?" You know, and you know, some of them looked at me and their eyes were rolling back. Basketball. And I said, "Yes, I was playing basketball when this happened." And, you know, it was like, it wasn't just from them. It was from my dad. It was from my aunts, my uncle, everyone that I saw, my whole faith community that were around, every single one of them were encouraging me to retire. Pick up golf. That was a constant refrain. You're not young anymore. I've heard that about a million times. And I realized, wow, the whole time, I didn't hear one person say, "P-Sam, you're going to be better when your Achilles heals." I would have loved to hear that. You know, not one person said, "Oh, yeah, I can't wait to play basketball with you again." No, nobody. I realized, wow, we as a community sometimes, we are so discouraging. I really felt so discouraged when I was there. And I'm, you know, doing my physio, my physiotherapists were actually very encouraging to me in that regard. And so you realize that, how discouraging the community can be. Another thing I learned is even more so, just mad respect for my wife. Andrew is 1 year old, so now he's kind of running around a little bit more than usual. He took his first steps in California when we were there. And he's walking around like crazy right now. Not yet on his own, but he's still taking those steps. And just so much respect for my wife. And I mean, she barely slept this whole trip, taking care of him, taking care of our other three girls, taking care of me. It was just amazing. We as husbands and we recognize how valuable our spouses are. But I think on a trip like this, even more so, just recognizing how special my wife is and just the incredible hard work that she does to keep our family intact. And I say to all the stay-at-home moms and all the moms in general here, man, just honestly, mad respect from me and from our whole church. The things you guys do for your kids and things that people don't see. It's just absolutely amazing. You know, now that I was with my whole family just about 24/7, I saw all those things that my wife does for our family. And I mean, it's just really, really blew me away. And I just want to appreciate all the moms that are here in this room, and especially all the stay-at-home moms that are here, and just the amount of work that you put in to raise your kids. Praise God for you. Amen. In fact, if you're sitting next to a mom, just give them a huge pat on the back and say, "Man, well done." And if you're a husband, take your wife out, okay? Nice dinner, you know, do it up. Buy some jewelry. Your wife didn't pay me for that, but, you know, go ahead and take care of them that way. I also just really had gained a lot of respect for my kids. Vacationing is sometimes really difficult. We're in different homes, different hotels, different situations, different time zones, and my kids just did incredibly well. And I just really just so appreciative. Obviously they could be a handful of times, but they really, really were very, very wonderful during this time. Some of you guys may have seen a post that I posted on Facebook. If you get to see, and my little Hannah. There's this carnival game. If you ever go, we're at Legoland, and there's this carnival game of this ladder. Have you ever tried this ladder? It's this unstable ladder that's basically connected by two rods at the end, and so it's very unstable. And so you're meant to climb the ladder and ring the bell on top. And so I paid, it was $10 for four tries. And so we were actually with Pastor Benjamin. He spent a week with us on our holiday. And so Elise had a try, Emma had a try, and Alethea had a try. And all of them failed miserably. And then I turned to Hannah and says, "Hannah, you want to try?" And I was hoping that she would say no, because there goes my $10 wasted. Because she's inevitably going to fail. But so she goes, "Sure." She got out of her stroller, went up there, and just seamlessly climbed the whole thing. And it was so incredible. We had a mob of like 30 people showed up to watch her do this thing. And then she ended up ringing the bell and won this bear that was like twice her size. And it's just my kids just, you know, never fail to surprise me of how incredible they are. And trust me, while she was climbing this ladder, I had visions of gold medals. And I'm honest. I'm like, wow, this is the one I should be investing in right now. I'm spending a lot of time with my son. You know, I'm like using his arms. I'm trying to make him a pitcher and stuff. And like, maybe I should start investing in Hannah. In any case, I'm going to invest in all my kids. But just mad respect to my kids. I also got to experience the fullness of the body of Christ. The good, the bad, and the ugly as well. And it was quite amazing. We visited three churches during this time. And it's a real treat for any pastor to visit a church that's not their own. And so we visited three churches while we were gone. And one of the churches, they're about to move in. They're so excited. They're moving into their new building. I think it's 45,000 square feet of space. And you see the excitement. I actually helped them last year to raise funds for this building. So I feel like I play a huge part in this. And it's awesome. I saw they're about to move into a brand new sanctuary. And I also visited a church that are about to lose their sanctuary. A 2,000-member seat church. And the service I went to, they had 120 people in there. I did the math. That's 0.06%. of the capacity. To give you an idea what that looks like, that would be, I did the numbers from our church, that would be if we had Sunday service and 13 people showed up for a service. The whole Sunday, 13 people showed up. I mean, it'd be quite deflating. And so I visited a church. It was actually a Hispanic church that my friends on staff at, and got to see what's going on and just the hardship that they're going through. And really pray for him and them. And it was gut-wrenching. But it's all part of the journey of faith that we as a church and churches around the world go through. That's why I really appreciate when we do the Apostles' Creed. And it says, I believe in the I believe statements, and I believe in the Holy Universal Church. And when I was sitting there worshiping in, I mean, this it was like a cavern. So many seats, empty seats, and so few people, but just them just going for it. You know, I mean, they were leading worship like the place was packed. They were praying like it was full. He was preaching like it was standing room only, and I could see their heart. And I just resonated with that in their heart, and just what God wants to do through their experience. I also visited a young church plant of one of my old students, and just the excitement and what the Lord is doing in their midst. And then also heard about pastors, some pastors that I know that have fallen horribly. Committed affairs and all kinds of things. And these are people that I know. It's not like someone that I don't know. People that I actually know and heard some gut-wrenching stories. You know, the good, the bad, and like I said, the ugly. But if there is a word that will encapsulate my experience this summer, is this word, Seleh. Like I said, it occurs 71 times in the book of Psalms and 3 times in the book of Habakkuk. And the word Seleh, spelled S-E-L-A-H for many of you, according to Strong's dictionary, it means to lift up, to exalt. It's also a technical term, technical musical term that shows some kind of accentuation or a pause or interruption. Probably the best definition of this idea of Seleh is to stop, to pause, and to lift up, and to worship. In the Psalms, the Seleh, the time, this is after a chorus. It would mean that the singers would pause and stop singing, and only the instruments would be heard, or sometimes they would only sing a cappella. But it was a holy pause. It was really mostly to reflect upon the words that we just sang. Pausing to praise Him about whom we are singing to. The psalm that I read earlier, all the earth will worship you, will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. And then the pause, the stopping to reflect, the stopping to think about praising his name, the glory of worshiping the Lord. We often do this when we worship God. I mean, there'll be so many times in our worship of the Lord as we're singing to him that you sing something and it just makes you want to stop. It makes you just want to pause and just think about what you just sang to him. The words, in other words, what I mean by this is the words say something, but it doesn't do justice to what God is doing in your heart at that time. And it becomes a moment for us where the words are just not enough. And so we stop to just meditate on those words over and over again. But not just simply on the words that we sing, but on the object to whom we're singing to. And the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God that he so lavishly places upon us. And so, most likely, the commentary said that when they came to the Soleil during this time, that most likely the singers stopped and they lifted their hands, because that's one of the root words of that, is to lift up. And they lifted their hands in just silence and just waited upon the Lord before the inspiration to sing yet again. It really was a holy moment. I felt like on my sabbatical, I had a lot of these moments. Maybe because I didn't have to work and I didn't have to prepare for EMP or preach. This actually was the only trip. I would say, Mike, you should be very proud of me on this trip. This is the only trip that I didn't preach at all. I actually turned down invitations. Praise God. You know, I mean, I know for you it's like a big deal, right? For me, that's huge. You know, my last sabbatical, I had 4 weeks. You know, I preached 8 times in those 4 weeks. And so, you know, it doesn't sound like much of a vacation. It's really not. I love doing it. But this time, I just said, Lord, I want to do something different. And so, you know, I said no to the invitations that came my way. And just learn to pause. Just learn to stop and just thank God. And I was so thankful. I was so thankful for my church. I was so thankful for all of you guys. And just so thankful for the vision that God has given to us as a body. Thankful for our churches here, SP Indonesia and SP Singapore and Beijing and the other church plants that God will lead us to do. And just so thankful for the reach that God has given to us as a body. And just so grateful for his Holy Spirit. Just, you know, when I would just pray and just, you know, just speak in tongues before the Lord. And just the grace that I was receiving during that time. And just an amazing time to pause. Like I said, the passage is also written in the book of Habakkuk. 3 times in Habakkuk chapter 3, there is the Soleil that happens there. And even though the book of Habakkuk was not written to be sung, but his prayer in chapter 3 inspires the reader to pause and to praise God for his mercy, for his power, for his sustaining grace and sufficiency. And this is what I want to say to us as a church. We need to learn also to Soleil. We need to learn in our journey every single day to just pause, just to stop running around. I know in Hong Kong that could be so, so difficult in that regard. But to condition ourselves to Soleil, to meditate on God's word, and then when the word of God is speaking to you, when the word of God is ruminating in your spirit, that you just stop and you allow the Holy Spirit to take you deeper in that word or in that thought. We need to pause and to thank him. Pause and thank God for everything that he's done. It reminded me of 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13, when the Ark of the Covenant was coming into back into the holy city. And when it was coming in, it says that the bearers of the Ark, they would take six steps, and then they would stop, and they offered a fatling and some sheep and some oxen. And then they would take another six steps, and they would stop. It was a 10-mile journey into the holy city from the house of Obed-Edom. And they came to that place, and it was quite beautiful. They took six steps, and they stopped everything. And they worshiped, and they sacrificed. And it's kind of interesting, if you think about it, that God also gives us 6 days. We take six steps, and then we come to Sabbath, and then we're meant to just stop everything. We're meant to worship Him and to sacrifice. In our modern day, sacrifice with our giving and our time and our talents. Sunday, brothers and sisters, is really a day for Salah. It's 6 days, then we stop. We pause, reflect on the goodness of God, and then we thank Him. We stop, we worship, we sacrifice, we give thanks. Today, and hopefully every day, I hope you wire something in your very being that you learn to saleh, to stop, pause. It's a holy pause, just to stop, reflect on His goodness, and worship Him, and thank Him. Let me invite the worship team to come up. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." And then the saleh. Let's sing this one first, Eunice. I love this verse. "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." Then saleh is the pause, to meditate, to worship. Now, we may not be being chased by our enemies like David was, but I'm sure many of us are being chased by our own troubles, by different things that come our way. For some of you, it could be a job, work-related situation. For others, it could be something that's happening in your family. Maybe it could be trouble in your marriage with your spouse. It could be problems you're having with your kids. Something going on with illness or whatnot. But whatever the case may be, Jesus is your hiding place. He's the one that preserves you from trouble. And He will surround you with songs of deliverance. And when that truth begins to melt in your heart, when Holy Spirit begins to do His work, then just stop. Just pause and worship Him with all your heart. Let's sing this song together and let's saleh. Can I invite you to rise to your feet? Let's all close our eyes and let's lay. Let's just pause. Just think about what we were just saying. Brothers and sisters, you can trust Him. You can trust Him in that situation that you're in right now. And as we spend this time to pause, allow Holy Spirit to also speak that truth into your heart. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation." Selah. In this pause, I encourage you to give those burdens to Him right now. Whatever is weighing on you, if it's weighing on you, it's on God's mind and heart. And let's just slay by surrendering those situations, those people, those circumstances. And let God bring that salvation into your life. Slay. Can I encourage you to grab someone's hand next to you? No? Let's go across the aisles. We haven't done this in a while. Let's close our service by praying for one another. Can I encourage you to just lift up the person on the left and right of you? Some of them are carrying burdens today. Pray that they would release them to Jesus. That God would come and be their salvation for them. That His grace would overwhelm whatever situation they're in. And let's just lift each other up right now. Pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you give to us as a community to Saleh, just to stop and to pause, to think about how good you are, God, to meditate on the words of your scripture that gives us life, God. Lord, I pray for our church and our congregation, Lord God, that whatever burdens, Lord, whatever troubles, God, that are in our way, Lord, that you make us stronger, God. For some of us, God, you're going to remove these barriers. For others, you're going to make us stronger through it. In all case, God, we say that we trust you no matter what. And so come and be our ever-present help in our time of need. Help us every day to have a moment of pause, of reflection, of sacrifice, and worship and thanksgiving. We thank you, Father. We love you, God. We bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Won't you hug someone next to you? Say, thanks for praying for me. Say, I'm going to pray for you this week too. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And please congratulate Kelvin and Lu Yi. Bless you guys. Have a great day.